Tanzania, the land of Kilimanjaro and Zanzibar, was in the past known less for its beauty and more for its moral high ground in supporting liberation and freedom movements worldwide. But in the year 1990, Tanzania succumbed to Western pressures and abandoned its foreign policy, which was based on support of the oppressed, to economic diplomacy. Here's the price the country has paid in abandoning the values for which it gained international recognition been worthwhile. What has economic diplomacy achieved for Tanzania?
There is a certain, at least for the high income echelons, there's certainly major improvements in terms of the way the economies are functioning. Poverty has not gone down significantly. Even the government itself argues that even using a very severe poverty line, a third of the population lives below that very austere poverty line. And using a dollar a day poverty line that is used internationally, 70% of Tanzanians now are below that particular poverty line.
What is life like for a typical child growing up in Tanzania? To find out, we decided to visit Bilal Comprehensive School in the Temeke area of Dar es Salaam, a school that has set itself apart by being a modern English school, but instead of targeting the elite, focuses its energies on the underprivileged, with the aim of breaking the poverty cycle for these children and their families. Here we met Kidawa.
What does your auntie do? Anafanya nini kazi?
Anauza mandazi.
Anauza mandazi. Na uncle anafanya kazi? Kwa nini?
Ni mjomba wangu mzee, mshangazi wangu mzee.
Na mama na baba?
Mama na baba amefariki.
Kwa hiyo sasa hivi shangazi ndio analipa ada ya shule au?
Madamzishi na minambia utakuwa sinipu mpaka nitakapomaliza.
Unakuwa na chakula cha kutosha nyumbani?
Kama kifanya tukila mchana usiku kunakuwa na chakula. Tukila, tusipokula mchana usiku ndio tunakula. Kama nitapata kazi, Mungu akinijalia, nitakuwa napeleka hela chakula kila siku anakula. Tuko na mwabudu Allah, tuko na nyumba, taweka ndugu zangu, taishi pamoja.
Kidawa travels to and from school on her own using the public buses. Although the student fare is highly subsidized, this is still a major challenge for most students. Kidawa lives with her elderly aunt along with her younger brother and older half-brother who has just completed high school.
Kwa kweli mimi sioni uchumi wowote kwa maisha yangu mimi lakini naona tabu tabu tu hivyo hivyo lakini tunaishi tu hivyo tabu na mashaka tunaishi lakini sio mazingira mazuri ndio hivyo hivyo tu
kwa kweli ni kwa upande kusema uchumi unakuwa kwa Tanzania mimi naona kamba unazidi kuporomoka. Kwa hivyo mimi sioni kama uchumi unapanda kwa sababu kiangalia mazingira mengi katika vijijini pamoja na baadhi ya mjini nakuta watoto yani wengi sana wanakuwa nakosa elimu. Tanzania ni nchi ambayo ina uwezo yani ina uwezo wa kuwa tajiri kulingana na rasilimali zetu tulizonazo sisi kwa nchi ya Tanzania. Sema umaskini tu tunautakia sisi wenyewe pamoja na viongozi wetu. Ila Tanzania kama Tanzania ni nchi ambayo ina uwezo wa kuwa matajiri.
Tofauti ya watu ambao wana pesa nyingi sana na wengine ambao wako chini, kuna tofauti kubwa sana.
Wale wenye kitu na wale wasiokuwa na kitu. Yule mwenye kitu sana kitu, yani mambo yake yanaendelea vizuri. na wewe uliokuwa huna kitu, mambo yako yanakuwa duri tu. Hata kama utajitahidi, lakini uwezi kufika mbali.
Sema kweli, wapo wengi Tanzania wamepanda juu. Ila ukienda katika sehemu nyingi sana, labda vijijini kule, wengi sana wanaishi maisha kama tunaishi sisi, ya tabu tabu haya. Wengi.
Experts tell us that the economy in Tanzania is growing, but Kidawa's family here has not witnessed any of this growth in the lifestyle that they live, because Kidawa lost her parents, her father earlier this year, and the old woman is looking after her. She sells water from a well that belongs to someone else and tries to get enough money to send her to school, get enough food on the table for her. But the reality is that she and her family have not seen any of the economic development that the country is touting. And this environment that they live in is a reality for a lot of Tanzanians.
To ensure children like Kidawa get enough nutrition, which directly corresponds with their performance in school, the school provides porridge to all children free of charge.
The children in this school come from some of the most underprivileged backgrounds. Some of them cannot even expect one meal a day at their homes. They come here and everything changes because they are served porridge here. They get an environment to play around.
We caught up with the administrator of the school to get her perspective on the economic conditions of her students, as well as the perspective on the morality of the foreign policy change.
You are working with children from grassroots. Do you think that the change in foreign policy from support of the oppressed to economic diplomacy has really changed the levels of poverty in this country?
Majority of Tanzanians are suffering. From what I feel, if you see the percentage in, like in our school, that's one. But if you look in the neighborhood of Temeke where we are, it's really bad situation. You know, the poverty, the standard of their living, the type of food they eat, it is really bad.
The government's change of foreign policy to economic diplomacy has not really brought in a lot of changes for majority of Tanzanians who have not seen too much economic change in their lifestyles. However, there are private institutions, communities that believe in a different approach whereby both the values and the morals of the time of Mwalimu Nyerere are still maintained, and at the same time there is a different approach to uplifting people's standards of living. This school we are at is one such approach whereby the children are given English language education, and normal English medium schools are very, very expensive, but this school subsidizes that and charges a low fee because it believes that the background given to children in the English language will be the doors that will open their lives to a better future.
This policy change that saw relations with Israel reinstated, which in turn meant compromising support for the Palestinians, was a deal done to gain economic benefits. Since these benefits are not yet seen, has the support for the Palestinian cause died amongst Tanzanians?
General citizen, they are supporting the Palestinians. But the sad part is the government doesn't. Because they are slaves of the West. He says they don't want to see humanity, they don't want to see the truth. Maybe it's doing good to them, but not to the country.
As in a typical neoliberal system, while the poor of Tanzania have been getting poorer, thanks to the Western imposed economic policies, the rich and extreme minority are getting richer by the day.
Tanzania is also home to people who live under such affluences whereby they are completely detached from the realities of the large communities, the large population of the country that live in the slums. And this is a clear sign of the huge divide between the poor and the rich. The divide between the poor and the rich has increased, and poverty has not decreased anyhow in the past 13 years that we are pursuing economic diplomacy. Would you say then that this economic diplomacy has failed miserably?
If you are making a comparative analysis between Tanzania and the small island states or small countries, you may jump into the conclusion of saying this country has not done anything. But if you go to the size of this country and the population of this country, consider thousands of kilometers of roads that have been built so far. If it was a small country, every street in every village, these tarmacs would have been there. But because we are such a huge country of more than 960,000 kilometers of land, certainly what you are doing is just a drop in the sea. 50 years of our independence, the Tanzania's population, which is a crisis, has moved from 9 to 44. Now, this drastic change should have proportionally moved with the advancement in the infrastructure, energy, and everything, so as to cope with the population. Normally, the population rises first, then you have a crisis of development, and then infrastructural development, and then energy development.
Optimism is a virtue, but in real terms, has Tanzania got the blueprint on achieving the needed growth?
In 2010, we attracted some $700 million of investment to Tanzania. We are now the third largest producer of gold among African countries. But unfortunately, given the contracts we have signed, they are one-sided. It is the companies that exploit this gold who are beneficiaries. The government only gets 3% of the value of the gold that has been extracted. So a lot of our natural resources are being exploited, but the Tanzanians are not benefiting enough from those natural resources.
Nyerere didn't allow mining to take place when he was leading this country. And he said specifically that, I'll wait until Tanzanians reach the level of doing this business themselves, then I'll allow mining. So he allowed few under the State Mining Corporation at that time. So now, under this economic diplomacy, our ambassadors outside are trying to convince people to come here and doing business in mining, in what. Now the structure of the contract, that's the question which media is coming in, is complaining, even this, some of the civil society is complaining, because the contract doesn't give much to Tanzanians. Almost everything is taken out of Tanzania.
So, has the move from support of the oppressed to economic diplomacy been worthwhile?
If the policy of Baba Nyerere was to support the Palestinians, then that should be the criteria even now. Okay, but at the moment, the situation which we are seeing is we have literally sold ourselves. We have become the slaves of West. So we have lost our own identity, and that is not okay.
You find, in my view, some kind of alliance between the local interests, okay, particularly in the party politically and in the business sector, okay, aligning with foreign interests, going into joint ventures, grabbing land, okay, selling of private sector and so on. We did not have a big national debate, although there were always small voices who spoke against this policy, for example against IMF and so on. But large number of the elites, they were taken in by this policy, having their own aspirations, because this was the game in the town. We were told that there is no other alternative. And given the crisis of the early 1980s, the popular masses went along with it, because there were shortages, and suddenly now when you begin to open up, commodities came in and so on. So both the elite and the popular masses initially saw a possibility that this was the path to go down onto. But I think that is ending now. That is ending because neoliberalism itself is in crisis. Most of these Western capitalist countries are in big crisis. And that has had a backlash here in our own countries as well. And we are beginning to reap the bitter fruits of the neoliberal policies.
What has economic diplomacy in Tanzania meant? It has meant that, you know, first of all, because we don't have anything to sell outside, it has meant that we are preoccupied with bringing a lot of people to come and invest in Tanzania. But everybody knows, you know, and all the records show, that a lot of these people who are coming to Tanzania to invest are ripping Tanzania off. You know, they are, you know, they are, you know, leaving holes, you know, because they are coming for extractive industries. They are doing even in tourism. They are having these exclusive packages where they pay each other in foreign currency outside the country. And when they are in the country, they are in hotels which have already been paid for outside. And so you don't get anything. So economic diplomacy can actually be a label for something covering up the fact that you are not fighting for your corner. The struggles for a new economic order in Nyerere's time, in Cancun, for you know, having legislation which controls multinational corporations and so on. That was economic diplomacy, although it obviously was, you know, at a tone which was political. Sometimes people use these words, private sector, economic diplomacy, to hide their inability to understand how the global world works. And therefore they are hoodwinked. They are made to actually serve interests other than their own. Because like in private sector, you know, in economic diplomacy, you are now made to believe that, you know, preoccupation with economic diplomacy means, you know, not asking too many questions about multinational corporations and what they do in your own country.
Economic diplomacy is a diplomacy that will be unavoided by any African country. Now, the management of the resources and the way people will manage that economic diplomacy is what I can share with you. Today, Africa has lost 29 million hectares of land to the foreigners. This land is gone. It's no longer ours, and it will not be ours, because they've got the concession of 99 years, up to 100 years in possession. They get loans, they get funds from their banks because of the property they have in Africa. 29 million hectares. That is the danger that probably you are also talking about. But we have not failed miserably, because for the majority of African countries, we are at our initial stages of building the infrastructure network, of building the energy potential, of bringing in technology, opening up for a number of industries that must complement agriculture. So slowly you will see economic diplomacy reaping up the fruits. For the time being, it is too premature, as it did during decolonization, when everybody thought we could not liberate South Africa. But we did. Some people said, you can never take Zimbabwe. We did. Some people thought we could never take Namibia. We did. And so the same with this economic diplomacy. We can move mountains. It's a matter of time.
Whether Tanzania is indeed on the path of economic growth that will one day translate into lifting majority of its citizens from the depths of extreme poverty is anyone's guess. What is definite is that by abandoning its support of the oppressed, in particular its support of the Palestinian cause, by warming up to Israel, the country has given room to the dangerous seeds of religious divide being advocated. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict has never been a religious one. However, there has always been attempts to make this into a religious conflict. And although Tanzania has always supported Palestinian cause, regardless of whether they are Muslims, Christians in this country, it was always seen as a human cause. But lately, there have been influences in trying to convince the Christian population of this country that they should be supporting Israelis, because in the Bible, the state of Israel was prophesied.
Israelites, they are there according to the Bible. And of course, as I am Christian, I can say that I am after them, because it is a bit written in the Bible that they have to be there. And when you ask those Israelites why, because they say that
I'm here because God told me that I am belong to this place. If I bless the nation, I'm going to be blessed according to my faith. That's why I pray to God to bless the nation of Tanzania and to bless the nation of Israelites.
I think the Israelis have worked on the false idea that Israel is an outcome of some biblical sort of prediction. And unlike in Mwalimu times, there is a lot of newspapers which are published by sectarian religious groups, Christian and Muslim. Okay, so the Muslim ones will be supportive of the Palestinian cause. But the Christian ones, they are blatantly, I mean, supportive of Israel. And there is also a growing religious fanaticism, which obviously goes together with a lot of economic dislocation and desperation. So a lot of people, you know, are buying into these religious explanations as to why Israel exists. And that could be built on and further advanced using this coziness, especially between certain elements of the army and the political class.
We benefit from Israelites. First of all, according to my faith, to me, it's very good. When you talk to Muslims, how is he benefits to Saudi Arabia? How is he benefits to Jeddah or to Mecca? You understand? So he is or she is benefit from there. Me, I'm benefit very much because, first of all, it's according to Bible. It is, has been said that the nation is there, is where the starting of my faith is. So I do benefit. But in the other world, way of connections with other nations or international relations, Israel has a lot to do with the world because they have many people who are very tough and vital for the development of the world.
People even don't realize or don't understand that you have a significant population of Palestinians who are Christians, and they are all oppressed, they all have been robbed their land. And so at present, given the atmosphere, the international press, the international terrorism of easily branding people, being Muslim fundamentalists, this issue, at least among sections of Tanzanians, instead of seeing it as a question of supporting people who have been oppressed, then they've translated it into a religious aspect, unlike during the period of Mwalimu.
We have to continue disseminating information to the effect that the Palestinian cause is similar to the settler colonialist situation in former apartheid South Africa. And it is not different, you know, and that the issue of religion doesn't arise. You know, that if there is an element of a religion, there is a country called Israel, which is encroaching on some of your own rights, and some of your own prestige. And if precisely if you are a Christian, there is someone using Christianity in a bad way. Is someone misusing biblical texts to justify oppression? In pretty the same way, actually, even the apartheid Boer regime used to pretend itself to be more Christian ever than anybody else.
Tanzania, Tanzania, nakupenda kwa moyo wote.
In Tanzania, we have lake, we have rivers, we have valley, and other things. Biggest mountain in Tanzania was Kilimanjaro. And the small mountain is Meru. Tanzania is a rich country. We have Tanzanite, gold, silver, copper, ruby, and others.